We've all done some things we're not proud of on business trips, but Vince Vaughn, Dave Franco, Tom Wilkinson, and Nick Frost are taking the business trip to another level. Friday, March 6th, Unfinished Business. That's the name of the movie, and it's in theaters. It's the story of a hardworking small business owner played by Vince Vaughn and his two associates, Tom Wilkinson and Dave Franco. They travel to Europe to close the most important deal of their lives. What began as a routine business trip goes off the rails in every imaginable and unimaginable way, including unplanned stops at a massive sex fetish event and a global economic summit. Plus, it's got Dave Franco's naked ass, tequila slaps, and Tom Wilkinson smoking pot. I'm in. Awesome. Search Unfinished Business Movie to watch the trailer and get your tickets now for the wildest business trip you've ever seen. Unfinished Business.
To the insurance company I'm leaving behind. You've scorned me for the last time. I've met another who makes me sing like a lark with the first morning dew. It happened all so quickly. In just 15 minutes, Geico swept me into a loving car insurance embrace and saved me hundreds of dollars and sleepless nights. Now I needn't worry if you'll be receptive to my automobile needs. Geico will be there for me in all the ways you never could. Regards, Sylvia in Silver Spring.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Put your name on it. Just put your name on it. That's all I say. Be a man or a woman. Put your name on it.
Well, I'd like to hear about it, potheads.
How the fuck you gonna know how to be great if you don't study greatness? Look at the game tape.
Donuts. If
you
wanna battle, it's either
that you will or you won't. Hey, you know, you're not a bad-looking man, Mr. Gals.
But you are, Blanche. You are in that chair.
There's something wrong with us. Something very, very wrong with us.
Hey, man.
I'm just saying the name butt plug implies that when you don't have a butt plug in, your ass is unplugged. Do you understand? Like right now,
like
you don't
acoustic?
Have a... you have
girl,
an acoustic ass.
My girl will lie to me. Tell me where
or who sleep who plugged last? Your butt last night.
What else? That was Nirvana without butt plugs.
In the Pines.
Hedy Ledbetter, he was fully plugged.
And well, those are, now we're talking about guitar plugs. I'm just saying your butt is not plugged right now, but you don't think of it as unplugged.
No.
It's just regular.
It's regular.
So the butt plug is... A good butt, a functional butt, plugs itself. So yeah. A butt plug is really unnecessary. It's like a butt double plug.
Right.
Because you have a sphincter. You have two sphincters.
A replug.
You're double
safety.
Plugged. It's nothing is really coming in or out. After yeah. this plug.
So if you buy a butt plug and say, I'm going to use a butt plug on you,
yeah.
you're insinuating that the person's butt is unplugged
yeah.
and needs to be plugged in.
What if you just had concerns for your lover? It's not kinky. It's not sexual. You're just like, I feel like your butt needs to be plugged.
Honey,
like you keep spraying diarrhea everywhere.
I saw you come out of the shower. It looks like Jackson Pollock lives here. If we could just maybe
your asshole looks like the Lincoln Tunnel. I'm going to put something in there.
Yeah.
Just not for sex. In fact, this doesn't turn me on. I just want you to be more plugged as a person.
I love how you just got the ball rolling. Piano keys. Pete Holmes. Or the other one, assless chaps. Everybody always likes to throw
talk about assless chaps.
All chaps are assless. Otherwise, they're jeans.
That's a very fair point.
There's no such thing as ass-full chaps.
Or assed chaps.
Assed chaps.
I'd like a pair
there's
of assed chaps.
But everybody always goes, okay, where do you get a pair of assless chaps? I go, you mean chaps.
Chaps.
Yeah.
That's right.
So
it would be funny to go into a jeans store and say, I'm looking for some assed chaps. What do you mean, sir? Well, it looks like you have plenty of assed chaps. These are jeans. I call them assed chaps.
These
are you
my...
saying assed chaps? Assed.
Assed.
A-S-S-E-D.
You had it.
It sounds like a part of a boat. I was unsure if it was A-S-S-S-E-D.
Hey, what's... Who
batten down
in charge
the ass.
Of the ass chap? There's an assed chap. Port or starboard?
So you're wearing a vest.
Well, I was wearing just a nice James Peirce t-shirt, white, and you and I got into an off-mic discussion about darkness and light.
We did.
Following Pastor Rob Bell,
yeah,
your buddy, who you're going on tour with.
One of my dear friends.
And
I was so happy you had him on.
Now one of mine.
Please.
We got after it. It was good.
Come surf with us.
Why do you had an interesting theory as to why.
Are you high?
No, not for years. I wish I could still.
Your pupils are very large. You're acting normal, but I want to serve caviar on your pupils. They're quite large.
Hey, use the Amazon banner at jmore.com.
to buy tiny, tiny plates.
Listen.
Shop like you normally would. Just go to...
Exactly. Go to jmore.com and click the Amazon banner. If you're going to Amazon anyway, remove it from your toolbar. What's this called up here?
Yeah, it's a nerd. Like a... You know, those are your shortcut bar.
Really? I never heard that.
Shortcuts.
Are these assless?
I like my pants are actually quite assed. The ass
you
is
have
the part that
assed
does
pants.
Can I say something? When I'm buying pants,
you got giant pupils too.
Yeah, maybe we're both just high.
We're all whacked out.
We have a contact guy. What I want out of pants is the ass. Do you understand? Like when if you take away the ass, if you make it assless. The main function of the pants is I'm never like, oh, these are good pants. They really keep my calves covered. Cover up my ass.
But just your ass, not your front.
My ass and the nuts. It's gross.
So that
you have that great bit about guys sliding into bed. Remember that old bit of yours?
Yeah, and you get silk sheets.
Silk sheets.
And I saw somebody else do it. Like, well, there goes that, because everybody thinks I steal stuff anyway. So I'm like, I can't even risk it. But now I do a bit about if you go to get your nails done, you get callus remover, you go with like your wife.
You go what remover?
I get
manicures. I enjoy a good pampering.
Yeah, but I didn't know anything that was going on. And
sure.
I do this on stage, so if you see me on stage, forgive me. I just assume that 250,000 people are like, I've seen this bit 8 times, JJ.
Hi, JJ.
But the lady will go, you want callus remover?
Ah.
And you're like, I guess. And
Russian
they,
woman.
They, yeah. Exactly.
You want a callus remover?
She was Greek. Anyway, so this Greek Russian says, you want square or round? And my wife said, round. I do that. Vietnamese women,
yeah,
speaking English sound exactly like Vietnamese women speaking Vietnamese.
Yeah, they kind of make it their own.
They just roll right up to my wife. Hi, Nika, how you want? Massage 20 minute delay. And my wife goes, that'd be great. I'm like, what?
Yeah, I heard an N-word in there. I
Nikki. But she's saying, hi, Nikki,
please.
How are you?
Yeah.
Would you like a massage, 20 minutes each leg? Hi,
yeah.
Nikki, how are you? You want massage, 20 minutes each leg? But if you were watching Platoon,
yeah,
and like the North Vietnamese army were having an argument, and one guy goes, you want massage, 20 minutes each leg? You wouldn't go, that's English.
Yeah.
What's happening? Do you know what I mean?
Also, if you say that in a Thai restaurant, they'll just bring you a delicious soup. The 20 minute each leg.
20 minute each leg?
Oh, I should have said Vietnamese, but you know.
No, Thai's fine.
Thai. I deliberately switched it up.
We broad stroke all Asians.
That's what I'm saying.
Pete and I.
You and I.
Yeah, specifically.
Even East. I get a little upset when people go like, well, India is Asia. You know what I mean. You know what I mean? Like, shut the fuck up.
Iran. You know? Like, how about when people go, you go, where are you from? And they go, Persia. And you're like, really? Because my globe doesn't have that. Why don't you just say Iranian? Be proud.
I'm from Prussia.
Well, then I'm Northern Hemispherian. I'm a Viking.
I also get off on when people are like, he's African. I always like to go, oh, he's from Cairo?
Yeah, Morocco. You take like the northernmost.
Yeah, the northernmost point. Yeah. Or South
where
Africa.
Where they filmed Sex in the City too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
By the way, let me get this in quick. Go to
Amazon.com and delete it from your site.
Yeah, you want to go. Really, you could spend hours on jmore.com, Pete Holmes.
There's a lot of content.
There is a lot.
Unique.
You will be on
digital
it.
Unique, content.
Yes, podcasts, videos
burst
of me. My
videos.
Dates. You can email me at jmore.com.
Oh,
yes, sir.
Meow Pacino. That was our bit last time.
That's right.
Meow Pacino.
We did Meow Pacino and How about Pete is such a pro?
The fondness in your eyes.
He pulled the mic away because he knew that laugh was going up top.
I know that laugh. I get a lot of shit for that laugh. And
who cares? What joy? You get shit for having joy.
That's what I say. Oh, I'm sorry if my joy upset you during your jog, Tiffany. Fucking eat a dick.
Go to... Me? I'm full.
No, I was talking to Tiffany.
Oh, because I'm like, I'm full.
Yeah.
I couldn't eat another bite. Look, if you're going
you're
to Amazon...
You're not really eating, pussy.
Don't...
Filthy Seinfeld. You're not eating them. You're like kicking it.
What's the deal with black conks? They're filthy, so large.
Filthy Seinfeld.
They're so large. They ruin it for the rest of us. Go to jmoore.com, hit the Amazon banner if you're going to do any Amazon shopping, and email me what you bought, like our good friend Shane Alberani.
I know Shane.
Fort Wayne. You know Shane.
Shane from Fort Wayne?
Yes.
Fort Wayne Shane.
Hi, Shane Alberani. Hey, JJ, I've been a huge fan since Action. I just bought a new pre-workout supplement through the Amazon banner at jmoore.com. I'm a minor league hockey play-by-play announcer. Your podcast has gotten me through some pretty long bus rides. Thank you for the great show. Shane Alberani,
Shane.
From Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Next time.
First of all, Shane, yeah. Way to go. Obviously, the guy wants to excel at what he does if he's calling minor league hockey and taking those long bus rides. And Pete Holmes and I, we reward you and say, good job on the hard work, pal.
And we throw Meow Pacino right back at you.
Meow Pacino.
I was going to say, next time you're like, if you're trying to write a script or a TV show or something, and you're like, couldn't my character be like a minor league play-by-play hockey guy? Like, I'm rooting for that guy. I like Shane.
You
know
too.
What I mean?
Hockey's
in
hard.
It for the love.
Because everybody's like,
oh, yeah.
It's not like baseball where
and
guys stand
and it slides across the ice as if it's slippery and cold.
No, I was thinking more.
Into the tiny net it goes!
That's closer.
Ooh, fire sirens going off, and the other team looks upset.
Why is your minor league hockey announcer a Bond villain?
The laser grows closer to Bond's crotch. Rat.
When this ice melts, the sharks will be released, and they are hungry for Secret Agent, Mr. Bond.
Can we also agree that the hockey goalie, he looks ridiculous? I'm sure he's a very fit guy, but you put all those pads on him, and he has to walk like he's pinching a loaf in his pants. He's walking like he can't, and he's got the big stick. I got the big stick!
How do you want him to look?
I want him to look like a regular player, terrified and just like, I'm not prepared to stop a puck.
Maybe he should be. That would be a good thing in hockey and in soccer. Like, here's why I don't really get into
put
soccer.
Put the hockey guy in the soccer one. Then he's slow, much more scoring.
29-22.
He's on grass in ice skates.
With a big stick.
With a big stick. That we just made the game a different game.
We just fixed two games.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say that you can go see Pete Holmes do stand-up comedy in Grand Rapids, Michigan, March 14th at the Wealthy Theater.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun one.
Theaters are always, they give me a little angst.
That's a live podcast. It's going to be even more fun. You know what I mean?
Like more angst.
I think it's more fun.
How many seats, do you know?
I'd have to guess at least 500, at least 500 to 700.
Wealthy Theater.
Yeah, I mean,
in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
It's already
tickets.
Sold out, though. I wish I had a date that, you know, I'm in D.C. this weekend. When's this come out?
Time Machine.
But I only have 5 seats left to that. It's a nice thing to sell out a show.
It is a nice thing.
That
and that's the thing about theaters is I don't think the casual fan realizes that we make considerably less money when we play a theater.
Yeah,
unless you want to charge $80 a ticket, then you can walk with like $50,000.
Right.
But you guys like you and me, we're like, we don't want to stick people up.
Right.
And we're not like Chelsea Handler famous where it's like if it's $150, they're going to come out because
they're
we're fabulous.
Yeah.
With a, you know.
3 less Cosmos.
Well,
I don't know why I did that voice.
I don't know either.
Well, what's wrong
I know
with
why.
It?
I know because you love Kim Cattrall.
I've been watching Sex and the City.
And first of all,
I was watching
Ian
not
Michael.
Bad.
What's his name? Patrick King. Michael Patrick King. Whether you like Sex and the City or not, it's an actual perfect show.
Sure.
You could
please tell me why.
Because you could write a line of dialogue for Charlotte.
Yeah.
And if you just watch the show often enough, you would say, Charlotte would never say that.
That's right.
Seinfeld, you can give Kramer a Jason Alexander line, you would go, that's not what he would say.
That's right.
It's ingrained.
I understand.
Everybody
what you're
is set.
That's right.
And Kim Cattrall, you've become recently obsessed with her almost like cock limericks. I don't know what she does.
Did you see my vines? Because I saw 2 vines.
Yeah, that's why
I brought it up, dummy. Oh, you salty dog.
What do you think? I just pulled Kim Cattrall out of the
ether? Listen, man, I believe in the flow. I'm like, this is bizarre.
What's with women
place?
On the flow?
Look,
I want to have sex and she's bleeding like a stuck pig.
If I made you a piece of pie and you just started tonguing the piece of pie looking for the cherry, I wouldn't say, oh, that guy's eating my pie. I'd say he's licking my pie. You lick the pussy, you don't eat the pussy.
You go out with a girl, she's on her period. What are we going to do if she has her time of the month? She has a flow.
I'm just saying, for me, if I'm bleeding out of my dick, I'm saying that at the beginning of dinner. I'm just saying, hey, Thursday's not good. I have a death function between my legs.
I've never heard two worse Seinfeld
Yeah, they're bad,
impressions.
But they're good.
Let's play More Stories Fancy.
Well,
would you like to do More Stories Fancy?
Let's do it.
Peter,
I'm
going to
be from a worse part of town, though, aren't I?
I don't know where you're from.
You're from the East End, aren't you? I'm more of a West Ender.
I'm more from Buckingham Palace.
Yeah, you
what
seem
amendments
like
should be made to the U.S. Constitution. We don't live there, do we?
Oh, no, I don't really give a shit, do I? It's bollocks, isn't it?
You don't give a flying fuck.
I don't give a flying fuck about those tots.
About the United States.
Those tots and the
traitors.
Obama's a knob end.
Obama?
He's a knob end. Over there, across the pond, changing politics.
All right.
Ever since they dumped the tea in the Boston Harbor, I've never been on board with those cocks.
I like how you said Boston Harbor. In an English and Boston accent.
Well, I've spent a good amount
said
of time.
Boston Harbor.
Yeah, Boston Harbor.
That was wicked retarded. When
it's
you
wicked retarded. I love Nomar Garciaparra.
Number five.
Yes.
Nomar Garciaparra.
Oh, was he number five, was he?
He was number five.
Call him a sixpence, pocket full of rye.
Number five. Nomar Garciaparra. Let's do a little, one more stories fancy.
Yeah. That might.
If you believe, Pete Holmes.
Yes.
In heaven.
Yes.
What do you think it will be like?
It'll just be me and Margaret Thatcher drinking tea that's the perfect temperature.
Thatcher?
Yes, and we won't be disturbed.
Not the lead singer from Echo and the Bunnymen. He's not in your heaven, Mr. Echo.
If there's any musician there, it's the Coldplay bloke.
Called Chris Martin.
Chris Martin is there.
More Stories Fancy. Heaven with Pete Holmes consists of Margaret Thatcher.
Drinking tea.
Plenty of tea. Warm.
Not hot. Not too hot, is it?
And Chris Martin.
And he's in the back just going,
I
look
just segued
at the stars.
They shine for you because they're yellow. And I've segued somehow into a little bit of Russell Brand.
You sure have. Your pants are getting tighter to
my
match
pants
the impression.
Are tight, but I'll tell you why. I don't need my penis that bleeds out of it to breathe. What I need is a beautiful white ribbon of a fibula to shoot across someone's breast. Well, one day, a baby will nurse. But in the meantime, I'm going to make it look like a painter's radio.
It's my cum pillows, aren't they?
Cum pillows as well.
Later, your feet are off.
Harsh,
on.
Certainly.
Yeah, cum pillows.
Milk.
Well, it all looks milky, doesn't it, dear?
Around the corner, fudge is made.
And I'll tell you this, mine's whole. It ain't skim.
No.
It's been a while since I blasted off my knackers.
Who on earth is shooting skim? That's what I like to know, Pete.
If you jerk it too much, you might get down to 1%. But if you've got 1%. Skim, call the doctor.
Fat-free. Completely fat-free effluvia.
If you date a mortal, she's going to want to know if there's any carbs in your cum.
But who dates mortals? Really?
Russell Brand?
If you're with a girl, you're with a bird, and you're making love to her, right?
Right.
And she's an orgasm, and the two of you, two hearts, beaten as one, she's immortal.
Right.
Because you've joined hearts.
Yeah, you've merged
you've
into one thing, haven't you?
Are you up there with Chris Martin?
Yeah, Thatcher.
Noel Gallagher.
And you're blowing your load.
And you're blowing whole milk all over the place.
You blow your beans.
Brilliant. That's what I love about you.
Put it on a cam pillow.
You're a beautiful man.
Yeah.
You're not very complicated.
No.
I mean that in a good way.
Simple.
You're like a hot air balloon, but they've gotten rid of all the sandbags, P. Holmes.
Right, get rid of them.
And they just let you fly.
Let me fly in the sky, and you know what? I'll come down when the balloon's ready.
You come down with Chris Martin, Thatcher, T, maybe a Gallagher or two or five, but not Gallagher 2, T-O-O. That would be reprehensible.
I don't want Gallagher 2. He stole his brother's act. It's atrocious.
No, he bought it. It was franchised.
Did he buy it?
Like a McDonald's franchise. You
can
buy.
Can you do that?
Yeah, you could do it.
I'm selling my act for 20 quid.
20 quid?
You can have it.
I think you sell yourself short in
it
your ass
do
chaps.
Shit. You can have my ass chaps opener.
Do you believe in heaven? Because I had Rob Bell on, and we never
people are going to think that was an edit, and it wasn't.
No, it's more digressions, as Doug Benson said many moons ago.
They're going to think, oh, they must have cut that bit short. No.
No. Hold on. Let's give love to the sponsors. Don't complain. It's 4 minutes out of an hour, so you guys can kiss my
assless chaps. Kiss me where the chaps would be covering if they were pants.
What are you doing?
What's the sponsor?
Well,
oh, you're going to cut to it.
Yes.
Oh, I thought you were going to do it now.
Huh?
What is the sponsor? Squarespace?
Huh?
What is it?
Don't say Adam it if it's Eve. Not it. No, I don't do that Hoochie Mama stuff, man.
Yeah, you would if they paid you in no, cum pillows.
No, no, I got one I like. I'm good to go. And I don't need any stimulant. You
do
know
you do
why?
Sandler?
I got a show. I go a little bit.
I'm sorry. I got one I like. You kind of sounded like, I got one I
look,
like.
Look, Pete, we have sponsors on the show, and we got to get to them, or else they will not pay us. Ooh, I'm boogity. I scares me blip. So here's a word from the commercial sponsor.
Does shaving irritate your skin, give you nicks, bumps, razor burn, make your face all itchy? I bet you've been blaming your razor and upgrading your razor all these years. You know what? That's not what you have to do. What you got to do is you have to get a better shave gel like Cremo. Cremo is an impossibly slick, foam-free shave cream, and it comes in a tube. Not a can, a tube. And almost any razor is going to glide effortlessly and comfortably over your sensitive skin with virtually no bumps, burn, or irritation. Listen, most shave gels and foams are mostly air. Air is not a lubricant. You wouldn't cover your face with air to shave, so don't do it. This can cause irritation and discomfort. That's why you, my friend, need Cremo. Available at Walmart, Target, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy. Cremo, red cap, white tube, Cremo. My friends, I had about 5 mosquito bites on my arms the other night. And you know what I used? Tricom. Tricom. I rubbed it on the mosquito bites and the itching went away. Tricom works like no other anti-itch product. Tricom, a recent study shows that Tricom is 5 times more effective at reducing itch than 1% hydrocortisone. Cortisone, which is a topical steroid. I speak from experience. The other night, I got all bitten up by mosquitoes. I was itching. My arms were a mess. And I put Tricom on my mosquito bites. They stopped itching in like seconds, steroid-free. Products containing steroids like hydrocortisone can thin the skin and can only be used sparingly. Look, Tricom is what you got to get. It relieves the winter itches. They get worse during the colder, drier months. Use Tricom in warmer months. Too. You can use them on bug bites like I did, poison ivy, poison oak, poison sumac, and other common skin irritations. Tricom, it relieves itchy rashes from soaps, cosmetics, detergents, jewelry. Use Tricom to relieve the dry, itchy skin we get as we age. Tricom works almost immediately, and the relief lasts. Tricom is backed by the itch-free guarantee. If a user is unsatisfied, if you don't like it, you can mail back the empty tube. Empty. Empty tube. Full refund. Tricom. Go get it.
So, Rob Bell, your friend, who you're
Bobby
going on
B.
tour with WAF. I just said that like I'm in the Californians. You're going to tour with Rob Bell?
You can't take cold water at that time. It turns into the 405.
It does turn 405.
I used to do that bit before I had seen that sketch.
Really?
Because when I first moved here, that's what makes it so funny. I'm not saying, like, I could have done that.
I could have watched it for an hour.
I know, it's so funny. It's so funny. So I'm not saying, a lot of people will see something funny and be like, I have that idea. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is when I used to go to work, I'd hear everyone talking about how they got there. And I was like, oh yeah, you can't take Venice at this hour. Got to take Pico. I always had the same streets. Pico, Coldwater, Ventura.
And Coldwater is just such a good
Coldwater
word. If
it sounds
you're not
like
from
Middle
LA.
Earth.
Yeah.
Take the Coldwater Pass, Frodo.
Coldwater.
That was a good Gandalf.
I didn't know that was Gandalf.
You got to watch the film again and then
actually,
listen to this podcast.
At all. There's really no reason.
You don't have to spend
there's
9 hours,
there's
Dean.
A thing in my house. Where, oh, books.
Yeah.
That I could do instead.
Oh, you're one of those. My dick is so soft.
I'm a bit of a
right
reader.
Now. A reader?
I open it and
you're
I read left
read,
to right.
You're a
like a Muslim or a Chinese man. I do believe they read up and down.
Or a Hebrew backwards.
Who? They read backwards?
Yeah. Goes the other way, doesn't it?
But then you know the end of the story when you start.
When you get to the start. But isn't that very zen?
I like right now you kind of shifted into Ron Wood.
Ron Wood, who's that?
Is
he's
a guitarist for the Rolling Stones.
Oh, I'm in the Rolling Stones. I feel bad for those ones.
Hello, darling.
Like the old drummer. Like he's like, nobody knows my name is
Charlie
Phil.
Watts. He's a sort of maybe.
You know. But if I saw him at a Pinkberry, I'd be like, hey, the old guy. You've looked like you're this
you
age
tennis balls
since
on your,
the 60s.
You have tennis balls on the bottom of your walker. No wonder you're always seated.
He has tennis balls on the bottom of his drumsticks, too.
God. Oh, what I was going to say to you, the slippery sheets bit that I do with the nails on, you get callus remover.
Karis.
You want, no, it's not. It's they don't. They don't. I know what you're doing.
I'm being.
But Vietnamese.
The only remaining racism that's okay.
No, Japanese. Arguably. I believe they do get the R's and the L's mixed up
for kicks, as Bill Murray said.
Yeah, for kicks.
In Lost in Translation, he goes, "Yeah, for kicks to switch it up."
Oh, what a great movie!
Isn't that funny?
And
great Scotch movie.
Taught us all.
You're sober though, right?
Taught us all a lot. You could just stare and do nothing,
yeah.
And the viewer will completely apply all the things you're thinking.
Well, that's
and
what
you'll
you
get,
do.
You'll get nominated.
You project what? I love the show Mad Men. It does the same thing.
He's I bet he was looking at a piece of tape on a stand, and they go, "This is going to be your eye line." Just and he just, how long do you want me to stare at it?
Yeah.
And 20 seconds. And as a viewer, you're like, "Oh my God, he's so lonely."
I agree.
Like, no, he's staring.
It's like they said about The Godfather. Marlon Brando was trying to remember his lines. I'm sure you've heard that before.
They had cue cards in his lap. They put him on top of the cat.
Oh, really?
He's petting the cat.
Well, he's trying to find like a natural time to look at that cat. If there was one butt I was going to plug, it would be a cat's butt because it's right there. I feel like I could do it from across the room.
I can't do Brando, but I get callus remover.
Yeah.
And what they do is they put like goo all over your feet and they put plastic bags on your feet. And then they leave you alone for like 22 minutes. And you go, "Did I just pay to have walk home with like plastic bags? So my feet, like,
do my feet owe you money?
They're just gone.
Are you threatening my feet?"
They've been wrapped.
Is it in the line of fire?
Not very well done.
Is Clint Eastwood going to say there could have been one bullet? By the way, if you've ever held an unloaded gun, it is completely different from a loaded gun. Any movie where they're like, "Is this loaded?" It weighs so much more with bullets in it. I'm going to say 1.5 times as much.
If you want to know if a gun is loaded, you have to point it. I can't even. There's no joke I could think of that people would go. Like,
oh, I was ready to join you. I realized I just had a dream last night that I had a gun. And I want to see if it was loaded. And I pulled the little thing back. A friend of mine's in the FBI and he lets me play with his gun.
Sounds hot.
He's probably gonna. Yeah, and then he plugs my butt
with the gun.
No, although one time I saw a porn site that was it was called Chicks with Guns, and I was like, "There's a fetish for everybody." What do you want?
Not the truth.
I thought I disgusted you.
Really? Really? My wife was just spraying shit all over the walls. Like 11 minutes ago, she came out of the shower making Jackson Pollock paintings.
Well, got to plug that butt.
But then when I plugged it, the plug came loose, and it was a little more minimal spraying, so it was kind of Cy Twombly. It was a little more controlled.
More of a spatter pattern.
Yeah, but there's always a heart.
There's
always a heart in that Cy Twombly. That's probably, I'll break down some art talk.
You could probably get like a little plastic heart, like a metal or plastic heart on your butthole, so whenever you poop, there's like a void of a heart.
Like cookie cutters?
Yeah, like a cookie cutter, but a reverse cookie cutter. So it's the filled in part, and you put it right on your butthole. So when you blast like a real spray.
I don't know why you're laughing. I'm staring at you like you look might make money off of this.
You look in the toilet and you're like, "Oh, that's not, like they do on the tops of cappuccinos."
Yeah. You're laughing.
Cappuccino
like,
is what I'm saying.
I think we could do this.
Look, if they're gonna bleach him, you might as well have poops come out in girly shapes.
Or manly shapes.
And then there can be manly shapes, you know, yeah. Like the anarchy symbol would be obvious.
What Jewish person would want the Star of David?
Do it. Any religious person would want the lowercase
Would you like
T.
to see what I made?
Mama, come in here.
No, I'm still, that was my Vietnamese lady still.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were doing a Jewish man.
Well, why? That's anti-Semitic, you creep.
All right, don't make a big deal out of this. Right. We'll get the callus remover, right? The lady comes back, takes the plastic bags off my feet.
But then she starts scraping my feet with like a nail file, and it makes literally Pete Holmes a mountain of dead skin.
Oh, gross.
Yeah, you think it's gross.
I do think it's gross.
And then you put your socks on, your shoes on, and you walk back to your hotel. You forget that the whole thing ever happened.
And you're like, "Oh, I'm a size 12.
You go to bed that night, and you put your feet under the blankets, and you are fucking flying around on the sheets underneath. It's like you're on the most well-oiled Nordic track on earth, and it's just your toots. Just
your toots. Or your toots.
We call them toots in my house. Your little toots are just flying.
I call farts toots.
Because there's no calluses on your feet.
They're back like in the day, a callus,
well-buffed trophy.
Like you'd be hunting a whale and you're on top of it and the calluses would keep you from slipping off the whale. And now they just keep you from slipping around too much in your sheets.
Yeah.
That, we are,
when I was whale hunting?
Yeah. Well, I'm saying thousands of years ago. Or if you're in Alaska.
Let's play more stories fancy.
Yeah.
Pete Holmes.
I'm ready.
Piano keys.
That's one of my favorite comedians.
I like your t-shirts on your website, Pete. And I like that you sell merchandise because Pete is my homeboy.
Yeah.
I like to think that I am.
Can I tell you something? Teespring.com. It's great. You should do it.
Why wouldn't I go to PeteHolmes.com instead?
Yeah, but I'm just saying if you wanted to make a T-shirt, you
I've got lots of T-shirts on my website. Yeah, mind your business.
We'll talk about the overhead and the
you
profits later.
You fucking cunt.
You twat.
You twat. I'm a twat. You persnickety old hen getting involved in my...
I'm going to slap you and take you to Parliament.
More stories fancy with Pete Holmes. We've only done this once before.
Parliament is a place where laws are made. It's also a cigarette.
Look,
it's also a cigarette. You can do a bump of cocaine in the filter.
Speaking of Parliament, please look across the dispatch box and make sure there's no controversy with our next More Stories Fancy.
No controversy.
No controversy. Pete Holmes, are you ready for More Stories Fancy?
I'm ready.
Is there only one soulmate for each person?
No, mate. Soulmate derives from the word S-O-L-E, like feet. Everybody's got two. Cheers.
Or the fish.
Or the fish.
Soulmate.
Or the soul. Yeah, it's like a fish.
A net in the ocean.
You ever see a school of soul?
A 44 soulmates.
There's like 48 of them down
there. I'm not making love to them, am I?
Look, mate, you go through somebody, somebody goes through a breakup, just say, hey, you ever see a school of souls? There's dozens of them, mate. There's dozens of them.
Was that Edith Bunker at the end?
Yeah, Archie, I went to London and I came back a little bit different.
Oh, jeez, Edith, when did the Lord say, let there be Digbat?
You know, I read one of the best quotes about you. Anybody thinking about going to see Pete Holmes do stand-up comedy, you should. Mm. Clean comedy at its finest.
Who said that?
Somebody left a comment under a YouTube video of yours.
Oh, really?
On your magic bit.
I'm not very clean, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, on YouTube, you're clean.
On YouTube, that would have been on Conan, I was clean. And when I do that bit, it's clean. But sometimes it's just...
And I loved your special so much. Nice try, the devil. First of all, there's nothing like a great title.
Thank you.
It is very important.
I love a title with a comma in it, too. Nice try.
I have.
The devil.
Nice try, comma.
The devil.
Yeah.
You're calling the devil the devil. Still laughing at it.
Well, I love it, as you should.
No, I get a lot of joy.
My next special has, I took it up a notch. I went period.
What is it?
Happy and a lot. Happy, period.
And a lot.
Yeah, because when I used to pick my kid up from preschool, they'd have report cards every day, and it would say mood, and the lady wrote happy, and they would write lunch, and she would just write a lot, because he's a tank. Happy and a lot. And what better describes me?
Happy and a lot.
I am a lot. For good,
for
better, for worse.
Abundance.
Nice try, the devil.
Nice try, the devil.
Let me tell you something. I TiVo'd your special, and I was very excited, and I look forward to it. Oh, is it going to be on Netflix soon? Because they take their goddamn time,
they
these
sure
people.
They sure do. Well, you know.
Every Tom, Dick, and Harry, and Amy Schumer has got 40 goddamn specials on the Netflix.
I know.
And then you guys like you and me got to wait around, and people go, hey, I really liked your special. You're like, what, the one when I was in high school?
You're right. Well, I mean, it's a tough market if you're not Netflix. I'll say that. Like, I'm going to do another one. And I'll tell you, like, it's hard because I do have certain loyalties to, like, Comedy Central and whatever. But then, like, you're like, what do? Do I go to Netflix? Because it seems like the place to be.
Yeah, but is show business the place for loyalty? For your friends, sure. But when you're dealing
show
with...
Show business, not show friends? Are you referencing?
When no, I wasn't.
You
did,
are.
Though. No.
You just brought up Jerry Maguire.
I would let you know if I was. You have no idea what it's like for me to be here for you. It's an up at dawn, pride-swallowing siege that I will never fully tell you about.
What is the name?
Help.
Oh, you're doing Tommy C.
Help you.
What's the name of the skank I banged on the road?
Amber, that's my job.
We push into the glass. Ice is cracking.
We are through the looking glass, people.
Oh.
That was JFK. What are we talking about?
I do Sam Jackson, but I don't wake up your boy.
Yeah, don't please.
I won't. I'm
we
not
We could
kidding.
Both
not
do Morgan Freeman.
Oh, my God. That day when we discussed butt plugs, if the penguin of the North Atlantic had a butt plug, more of them would survive.
Pete Holmes, wearing assed pants. Good old Pete swam through a river of shit. Undying devotion to Comedy Central to get raped in the butt in the end by the corporate fist.
I like those guys.
Yeah, but, you know, look. All right, let's talk.
I'm like, I wish you'd even like, talk about this.
But I like how you're like, well, I'm loyal to Comedy Central. Like,
well, they were good to me.
So, well, if somebody else is going to be gooder to you...
I know, but
get
it's
paid.
So cool.
What are you in this business for? To be cool with Comedy Central?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I did
Showtime specials. I did two in a row.
Yeah.
But if somebody comes by and offers me, you know, 10 grand more than the other guy.
Yeah.
Bye bye. So long, PBS.
Well, I.
Nothing?
I was thinking.
All right.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear it. I do think about, like, who's going to see it and how many more. Yeah, I was thinking. I had to keep thinking. Well, let's. What you asked if I believe in heaven. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. What is heaven to you? That was more stories fancy, but let's get down.
Was that? Oh, right. What was the question?
No, let's do it for real. What do you think? Because it's not
a good question. I spent the bulk of my life, until I was 29-ish, believing that, like, you believe in Christ, you go to heaven, everyone else goes to hell, sort of thing. And I'll tell you that took a lot of work to get rid of that kind of programming in my brain. So these days, I don't really like Bobby B, like Rob Bell, who you had on. I don't concern myself too much with what happens after you die. It's almost like a Buddhist philosophy. When people ask Buddha, what happens when you die? He said, that's not your concern. Your concern is ending suffering here on earth. And I think there's a little something to take there. The way that we've homogenized and pasteurized Christianity, which I actually think is a wonderful story and a very meaningful message, which is part of the reason it endures. We've homogenized it and pasteurized it and completely flattened it into afterlife insurance being like any good sort of sales pitch. We create a need, original sin. You were born a sinner. We create some urgency when you die, and it could be at any moment you will burn if you don't take Christ. And then you offer the solution, which is Jesus. Accept him into your heart. So that's going to help your religion
but
grow.
But first, if you could help us with the building fund.
I actually think it's
a little money in the envelope for me.
Yeah, people look to money too. I think there's worse things going on than cash. Like I think people are like, oh, and then they ask you for money, huh? Not really. I was in a pretty big church and my dad.
You can just pass it along.
You can just go. You can let the offering. But I think the worst thing is when you're, a 13-year-old kid, as I was, who believed grown-ups, and then you tell me about a place called hell, like an eternal living torment, burning forever place of torture.
It's absurd.
I believe you, though.
And you and I are going to
get that, I think, is child abuse.
It certainly.
To have a volunteer tell me that? Do you understand? It's not a Master of Divinity person. It's not a preacher. It's a volunteer who's probably not even a teacher. Like, if you want to teach Sunday school and you volunteer, you can. I remember they used to protest outside my high school that say, your math teacher doesn't have a master's degree. But every Sunday, someone would teach me the quote unquote secrets of the universe. And I believe them just like I believe my math teacher. And it was a fucking volunteer, some guy who's working through his own shit, who maybe drank a little too much or was a closet homosexual and wanted to repent and do some penance. So he volunteered at the church. You understand?
Yeah.
So now I'm listening to this guy and he goes, if you're gay, you burn. And I'm like, I'm at an age where I believe you. My brother was, you know, smarter or older than I, didn't believe it. But I really took it on. And that's really a tricky thing to do.
I had a really hard time with it. We talked to Rob Bell. I talked to Rob Bell about it.
Bobby B.
And I talked to my priests at St. Monica's because they're like cool, like, you know, they get into fights and they surf and stuff. Like they're like young, cool guys. Yeah. They're not closeted old drunks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I said, like, John 3:16, and I said this already. So if you heard this about Rob Bell, me and Rob Bell talked about this. John 3:16, those who believe in Christ as the Son of God will live everlasting life. The parenthetical being, you're all dying in a lake of fire. And I'm like, well, then all Hindus, all Muslims. Have you ever seen a Hasidic Jew? Who fucking prays and dedicates more of their life worshiping God?
Well, that's something.
They strap shit on their arms in the middle of the airport.
Yeah.
They put like a book on their head.
Little piece
they're
of the
going
talent,
to,
yeah.
They got hat boxes. Who, if you have a hat box for your
God's
caviar,
gonna let the hat box people
I
in
I mean,
first.
That is an other level commitment. Hold on real quick. So all these people are dying in this big giant lake of fire because they don't accept Christ as their Lord and Savior.
Personal Lord and Savior.
I thought that was a little exclusionary.
It is.
And then when I started
getting...
And Rob
would say that's not good news.
Well, yeah, Rob and I were fast friends. We were. I told him, I'm all in with
him. Did you read Love Wins?
I did not. I've never read any of his books, which that's the first one I should read.
Well, yeah, I would say so. It's amazing. It's the one about hell.
But John 3:16, if you go back to John 3:14, Moses says, Son of Man, and it's capitalized.
Well, it's not Moses because it would have been John. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm just saying we're in the New Testament
look it up.
Now.
You want to look it up? It's John quoting Moses. Moses held the
serpent. Oh, I thought you were saying Moses was saying it. Moses is believed to have written like the first couple books of the
John
Bible.
John said, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, capitalized, same as Christ.
Yeah.
All right. So John said it, quoting, talking about Moses. I made a mistake.
Well, you know, this
but
is
what I was going to say was,
sure.
Son of Man, goes over to your Buddha style and goes into the Hindu, goes into the Namaste, the divinity in me,
that's right,
is saying hello to the divinity,
that's right,
within,
well,
you,
that's why,
which
we
goes
bow
to what Rob
other.
Bell would say, the divine spark,
yeah,
which Son of Man, God is inside all
absolutely.
Of us. So how are we all going to hell?
But that's the thing. Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven. That's another one to go on to. He doesn't
well,
talk
but what's
about
heaven.
Chris, what I'm saying, when he says the
guy
kingdom
from Coldplay
of heaven,
and T, Thatcher, ugh.
He's saying the kingdom of heaven. He's saying the kingdom of God. Those are pretty interchangeable. But I'm telling you, it got flattened. It got steamed out.
What
and
is
it got
heaven?
But that's what I'm saying. It's awakening to your divinity, to your purpose. It goes back to a little bit about what
but
Buddha
does it,
said.
Does it start when this life ends?
No, and this is something I got from Rob. It's something that's already begun. It's in motion now. The idea that when you die, that's when you kind of like merge into God and all that sort of stuff is an illusion. This whole world is an illusion, and it's cock blocking.
Time
you.
Is a flat circle, man.
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
People out here.
But there is energies.
They don't even know the outside world exists.
Very well done.
Might as well be living on the fucking moon. I wish I had earphones on. I could tell how good I did.
That wasn't too good.
No, it was good.
It was all right.
I had to work on it for the show, man.
Well, we're at the Pete Holmes show. Which we'll talk about.
I big loyalties.
I know I've
you
done
got big
that.
Loyalties to TBS now too. Let's talk about heaven.
Mr. fucking loyalty. They showed you the goddamn door, you creep. I knew you were in trouble when your first guest was you at South by Southwest. You're like, oh, we'll be right back. Hope you enjoyed the monologue. We'll be right back with clips of me at another place. I was like, uh-oh.
You watched like the last, second to last
episode. I
was episode.
Like, oh, that ain't a good sign.
You watched when we were running out of ideas.
Welcome to the Pete Holmes Show. My guest tonight, me, but in a different building. And then later on, I'll be back here talking about me in the other place. Because
I'm hugely hungover.
They've stopped trying to get me guests to push, to push this rock.
Were there any indications that we weren't really set up to succeed? Well, no. I'm kidding.
Heaven on earth, yeah. I say, when people ask me, like, what's your idea of heaven? I say more of this.
More of this.
This. This, like this, you, me, this table, these material things, material meaning this here.
Matter.
Yeah. But also the feeling I got when I heard your voice when you were about one house away.
Yeah.
And I heard you talking to your girlfriend and I went, oh man. And I got like happy. And like when I just said, oh man, your face went up. Mimicking my happy.
Yeah.
Like that's the power we have over. Like just now I went, oh man. Yeah. Like a big smile. And you're smiling right
so
now.
So communing and connecting and exchanging energy.
But there's people that are like, you know, a receptionist with three kids at a wedlock who has fibromyalgia, and she works in Berea, Ohio, and it's cold and it fucking sucks. She takes two buses to work at night, and she's right. Like, more of this. These guys are dicks.
Yeah, I suppose. But
how
I
do
mean,
those
like,
people...
Well, we can't suppose that those people are having a less transcendent experience than you watching.
Oh, absolutely, you can.
Sin. I don't think
you have to assume that.
In fact, going back to Buddha...
Life is suffering.
I know we're
the
supposed
Buddha
to be talking...
Buddha said so himself.
We're supposed
life
to be...
Life is suffering.
But then also, I believe it was... I always forget the word. It's not... Ascetic, I think, was the idea of depriving yourself of every physical pleasure in order to get closer to God. And there's still ascetics in India today that will live on like very, very little food and very, very little water and basically just sit in the cold all day trying to actually use pain. Because why come here, JJ? Why come here? Do you understand? If we are the noblest of creatures sent to Earth to co-create with God, if that's true, why did we opt? Let's say we're spirits in another world, all right? Some other dimension that's outside of time and outside of duality.
You mean the Police song? You lost
Which
me
one?
For a second. We are spirit.
Okay, so where were we?
We are spirits
in the material world. Our spirits.
Right, so we are spirits here.
Sting, there aren't enough syllables to say we are spirits. No, I'm just going to make spirits and are. Our spirits.
We
are spirits. That's not a word. I'm fucking Sting. That's not a name. Get out of my garage.
And take Bono the Edge.
Bono the Edge and Sting walk into a bar. Cheers.
From now on, call me Eagle. I'm changing my name legally to Eagle. If the Edge can walk into Citibank and go, I'd like to catch this, and it says The Edge, $40 million, I'm changing my shit to Eagle. And when you see me on the street, yell Eagle at your car, and I swear to God, I'll go, ah! I'll give you one right out the window, right back at you. At a red light, you're just sitting there pounding a Newport. Hey, what's up, Beagle?
You lay down at night, you spirits, go, the Eagle's landed.
The Eagle has landed.
Okay, let's just say, this is one of my fun thought experiments. We're somewhere else. So if we came here to experience something that you can't experience somewhere else. Like today, Val and I were down in Venice and we're watching people skateboard.
Beautiful girlfriend Valerie.
My beautiful
here,
girlfriend Valerie. She's sitting in a massage chair with two small dogs.
That's right.
As she
it's on
gets
Pete's Instagram.
Mildly, massaged. We just went and watched the kids skateboarding, like in the skate park. Not the park, but it's like the emptied out pool.
Yeah.
I'm watching these kids, children, glide and fucking throw up into the air and flip and actually land on their boards, like really good. Probably some of them were probably pros. And watching that, I'm just like, it wouldn't be a thrill if it wasn't possible that they might fall. You know what I mean? It wouldn't be a thrill, and Val said this to me, to do stand-up if it wasn't possible that you could bomb. And bombing really is quite emotionally and I'd say spiritually painful. It can be very, very vulnerable to bomb. So why come here? So if we were in some place where we were with God, where there was no time and there was no pain and there was all knowingness, do you understand? Pure connection. Not just looking at my face for an intonation, but really feeling absolute connection. Why, if we did opt to come here, why would we opt to come here? Because maybe there's something that pain and loss and temporality, the idea that we're all going to die, which is something that we deal with in every moment, helps us understand something about the God that we left to come here, something that we only could learn here. You wouldn't play a video game that lasted forever. You know what I mean? So you come to a planet.
You never heard
of
Sims?
My guy died. He choked in the kitchen.
He did. I made the. I made the perfect guy. He was a bachelor.
I stuffed Jack in the mail.
You did?
So they cut off all the power and they froze to death.
That's good stuff.
But it took fucking months. I'm like, how long are these fucking idiots going to sit here? And then I realized, wait a minute, I'm sitting here. I'm mocking pixels.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm a human being going, they're going to fucking freeze. They're idiots. And I'm just sitting there in my pajamas going, I should put the heat on here, maybe. Your guy choked to death in the kitchen.
Well, because I tried to make him the perfect guy. He was fucking everyone in the neighborhood. He was a movie star. He had so much. I think he was bisexual. He had so much money. He'd
he
fuck anybody.
He choked on cock. Wants to deal with choking on cock.
But then I learned the lesson because he was in his kitchen. It was on three, sped up. Uh-huh. And he's eating one of his fancy food that he puts in his nice garbage disposal from his beautiful refrigerator. And then he choked and fell on the ground and there was no one to save him.
Because he fucked
him. Because he was alone. He lived in a mansion alone with all the money and he didn't have a wife because he got divorced and she lived down the street.
And that goes back to, we all need to commune together.
That's what I'm saying. Is the kingdom of heaven, going back to that thing, there is a little bit of togetherness. There is a little bit.
But it's this, not like,
there's a great
it's
Chinese
a
proverb. Ready? Right, Chinese proverb. Yeah. Guy walks
do
in.
Do it in a Chinese racist like Mickey Rooney.
It would really
like,
ruin
oh, you
it.
You want to order food? How about Mickey Rooney? Put in like buck teeth.
Oh, God.
They put Chinese makeup on him. And just free pass. Like the
oh, yeah, I know.
Be like, oh, I'll be a bellhop, mister.
I know. I think that
and
pass
like,
expired,
oh, Mickey.
Though. If you check the
He's
the
so
pass.
Talented. See him play the China Man?
Well, there was blackface before that. I mean, people used to love that.
Yeah, but that's people timeless.
People used to
never is not funny.
People used to leave movie theaters and go, I wish there had been more blackface. I came to see blackface. The movie's called Blackface Off.
How would you like to be a black? How would you like, can you imagine
blackface
being
off.
A black person? I love
can
it.
Can we make blackface off?
How about a black person in the 20s, 30s, 40s going to see a movie where the most Al Jolson, the most famous movie star in the world, has black makeup on his face to look like the people in the audience.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, that happened in the movie Dragon, the Bruce Lee story. He goes and sees a movie. It's not a good movie, but I loved it when I was like 14. He goes and sees one of those racist Chinese movies, and he's the only one not laughing. Sad moment. Okay, so the Chinese proverb is, guy dies, and he walks into a room, and there's this beautiful banquet table. And they go, this is hell. And everybody is trying to eat with these long chopsticks, like pool cues, right? And they're trying to get the food to their mouths, and they can't, right? Because they're too long. And he goes, so this is hell. And he goes, you want to see heaven? He's like, sure. They go to the next room. It's the exact same situation. Everybody's at this huge banquet table. Everybody has the pool cue chopsticks, but everybody's feeding each other. Come on, JJ.
That's sweet.
So that speaks to what you're talking about.
But you don't think there's like a castle and like a moat and like white horses and clouds and cupids and bows?
No, and you know, I was just thinking about that today. Nowhere in the Bible does it say God is like...
No, I'm asking you.
Yeah, I know, but to the people that I really don't like, the types of atheists that I talk to that go like, oh, really? You believe there's a man with a beard on a cloud?
Yeah, because I'm five.
Never said that. It never says that. And even if it did, these are parables. These are myths. These are stories to help us understand something that is ununderstandable. And we know what that is. Music, literature, poetry, comedy, all these things fucking, all of these things speak to something that's beyond our senses. So when you say, I want more of this, I understand what you're saying. But for me, I would like to wake up. I really would. I would like to understand the nature of reality. And that is what Buddha was trying to do. He was actually trying.
Your serious question. Have you ever done LSD or mushrooms?
Yeah, of course. Listen to how I'm talking.
So but when you say, I haven't done LSD,
I've done mushrooms.
But when you say, I'd really like to wake up, that's like borderline, like, so did Manson.
Yeah, of
like
course.
He was rallying people
to
Manson
wake up. Yeah, Manson had followers. Do you understand? All of those things.
Twitter, hello, modern day.
You salty dog.
He was
what
the
I'm
original
saying is
OG.
Cults always start with a
kernel
of truth.
What do you mean wake up? You want to wake up. What do you mean?
I want to wake up to from the illusion, from the dream that we all just accept what
but
we see.
But you're not going to in this lifetime.
Why not?
Because you'd be the first.
No, I wouldn't. They call them Buddhas. They call them Christs.
So your goal is to become a Buddha or the Dalai Lama. The Dalai Lama, when they asked him about the afterlife, you know what he said?
What
he smiled. He said, one world at a time.
There you go.
Isn't that nice?
I talked to a monk on the San Monica Boulevard, and he was like, some people just need a few more times around. That was how he was looking at it. So that is the idea.
Then he got back on the blue bus.
Boop. That's the idea, okay?
Number nine.
So Buddha realized that he woke up to the idea that he had been reincarnated countless times. He'd been men, women, he'd been spiders, he'd been dogs, he'd been elephants. And he wanted to get off the ride. So it wasn't this like cool, comforting idea that we keep getting reincarnated. It wasn't like, oh, great, I don't die. It was like, oh, fuck, I don't die. This great documentary puts it like this. It's like going through junior high again and 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 again. So the only way out is to become a Buddha. And also, I would say that's the story of Christ. It's not necessarily a literal physical death and resurrection as much to me as it is a mythical story saying you, Jay, you need to die to your humanity and rise to your divinity. Virgin birth, it's a special thing. It doesn't necessarily mean that sex wasn't involved in the birth of this guy, Jesus, from, you know, Galilee, from Nazareth. It means you are to follow in those footsteps. He says to gain everything, you have to lose everything. Buddha's doing the same sort of thing. It's like, let go. The world is on fire. Everything is temporal. You own nothing. This isn't your house. It's not your child. Those aren't your dogs.
I co-own it with my wife and several banks. You're damn right. It's not my
house.
Yeah,
but what does that mean? You know what I mean? Go back to like Native Americans sitting around. Their understanding of reality was just so different from us. We have clocks and daylight savings, and we have months and all that
shit.
My
friend Sam Sheridan, who wrote Fighter's Heart, and he wrote, was down there, Disaster Diaries, How to Survive the End of the World as We Know It. Every scenario, like if it's an ice age, he went up to Hudson Bay.
Yeah.
And he lived there, but he did construction like in the South Pole. He's a real cool guy.
Huh.
And he went to Thailand to learn how to fight. He wanted to learn Muay Thai. So he just like went, just showed up with a backpack, and they made him sleep on the floor of the gym. He was there. He lives like down two streets down. He's like a really cool guy. He'd be a great guest on your podcast.
Wow.
You should read his I'll tell you about that later. But
if I were to buy it, I'd get it on jmoore.com. I'd click on the Amazon banner.
Fighter's
then
I'd
shop like I normally
Fighter's
would.
Mind, and then Disaster Diaries, and he'd go how to survive the end of the... Anyway, he goes to Thailand. He learns how to fight. He learns Muay Thai until he's ready to actually have a professional fight in Thailand.
Whoa.
And he has to fight a guy from Yakuza, like the Japanese mob. And
so if you win, you lose.
But he knocked the guy out. He just surrendered.
Yeah.
And he did every goddamn thing. He ate everything. And then when they told him it was time to go up and meditate with the monks, he went up and he said, first of all, sitting Indian style or crisscross applesauce, depending on how old you are listening to this podcast,
yeah.
is harder than any living human. He said, right now, we were recording when we used to sit this way instead, the first time you were here.
Yeah, I remember.
It was Big Angie and Matty Boy. He goes, you guys sit cross-legged for the rest of the podcast. I bet you can't. And there was like 25, 30 minutes left, and they're all like, man, 8 minutes, these guys are just rocking back and forth. And he said, when you're alone in a room wearing a robe and you have two meals a day and it's rice and it's fruits and there's no stimuli, nothing, and you're in a room, all of a sudden that pain becomes, you just start kind of laughing because it's you have no choice but to just be so present because there's nothing.
Yeah.
And he said to me, the biggest trip was 4 or 5 days in, he ran out of memories because he meditated so long all day. He did exactly as he was instructed. That like on the 4.5 days, 5 days, he had looked at his first cognitive thought from every angle, from across the street, from his mother, yeah, his father, his siblings, and how he could have played it differently. And he played it out to infinity and then back.
Yeah.
And he ran out of memories.
Right.
And then you hear the rain hit the windowsill for the actual first time.
Well, that's what mushrooms
does. And he
does.
Was a baby.
Right.
And then he describes perfectly when he had to leave the monastery and they gave him all like his stuff back.
Yeah.
He has to go. He gets in a van. Yeah. And he put on a t-shirt and there's like a silk screen of Bruce Lee on it.
Yeah. He sad,
put on,
right?
Put on a watch.
You're re-empowering your mind.
He put on deodorant.
Exactly.
He, like jeans and boots. And he had like this wristband he wore on his, like a wallet.
Right.
Like credit cards in the wallet. Well, it was all ephemeral and ridiculous.
The ego started to come back in. See, we all think, we were talking off mic about somebody that I happen to think, we're not going to name his name, it has really been taken over by his mind. So another thing I'm talking about when I say I want to wake up is that sort of thing.
That man's name is Patrick Duffy.
To be really in the moment and to hear the rain or to see the reflection of other cars in your hood while you're stuck in traffic is a beautiful thing. And that's what mushrooms does. Mushrooms helps you. It's like a cheat sheet to get you to a place where you're really seeing the world as it actually is. But what we do is we've trained our brains only to see the things that are useful to us that help us get money and shelter and food and sex and Cheetos. You understand? Yeah. So when this guy shed his mind, he just became his pure essence.
He didn't even shed it. He exhausted it. Well, he ran it to ground.
However he did it, he got rid of it.
Yeah.
And that's a big thing for me too, is like, I think it's interesting.
How, like you said, you want to wake up.
Yeah.
And that to me seems, and help me with it. You're not like, what, one day you're just going to go, oh.
No, but you already are. You are enlightened. That's a big Buddhist thing, too. You are enlightened.
But you said you're waiting. Your goal is to wake up.
We're both enlightened, but we've forgotten. It's like Jason Bourne. We know Kung Fu, but we forgot where we came from. You know what I mean? Like, why do we love stories like that?
Okay.
You understand?
Jason.
So you need to go. Are you fucking with me? You salty fucking dog.
I thought you were fucking with me.
No.
Jason Bourne.
Jason Bourne is a story about a guy who's already.
It was a Matt Damon movie.
Yes. It's about a guy.
I thought you were doing
who
a
needs
bit.
To remember.
I thought you said
that
I'm
he
right,
already
spider.
Knows everything. Okay. We love stories like that. We love he gets hit with a baton and suddenly he knows kung fu.
So you're getting.
So
you're,
that's divinity.
You're waiting to be awakened, even though you're
I already
conscious,
am.
Knowing that you're awake.
I already am. I would just like to. I would like to
re-awaken.
Be fully in the moment,
reawaken,
reborn. Like the interest of what happens when I die isn't really that interesting to me. But can I really be here with you right now? Can I really fuck energy and stuff? Can I just kind of feel what you're giving out and hear my own voice and feel what exactly feels like at this time on this planet in this room? You know what I mean? Because that's what mushrooms does. When you're on mushrooms, you just want to fucking stare at your dog for 5 hours. You know what I mean? It's fascinating.
Well, they're fascinating.
And I would like, but they are. The thing with me is when I get off a drug like mushrooms or an experience like mushrooms, you don't go like, well, that was stupid. Like, you just go like, no, that was real. I felt, I got a little taste of what it feels like.
Last time I did mushrooms, I just remember.
An awoken person.
Yeah, I'm with you. Next time you do mushrooms or acid, go to an ATM and see how relevant anything seems.
That's right. I remember taking
just buttons and when you do get your cash, you're like, it's paper.
Yeah.
There's paper.
Yeah.
And there's, but the envelopes for like deposits are paper too. So why is this paper?
Yeah.
This paper has way more colors in it. It's like, oh, it's got a flap.
That should be like, should be a 50.
And you just bug out and you realize, wow, it's morning. I've been here a long time.
And then when the mushrooms wear off, you go like, give me back my Bruce Lee t-shirt.
Yeah.
And my stupid wristband. And I have to get in a van. It breaks your heart. But if we could stay in that place, that should be the goal of anybody's life. I don't think it needs to be so lofty as
But there's so many people listening to this podcast, Pete Holmes, at Pete Holmes on Twitter, who has a website with all of his dates, both of them. There's people, listen to me.
I just came off a pretty good tour.
I think pretty good doesn't describe how you tour, bro. It was an amazing tour. Pete Holmes, nice try, the devil. Get it on Netflix in 2022. That's how long I had to wait. There's people listening to this podcast that think like their lives are interminable. Like it's awful. They wake up before the sun comes out. They're freezing cold. They're hungry. Their boss sucks. Everything sucks. Like I said, right. They got to take a bus to a bus.
I understand.
And they're underpaid. They work the hardest. Yep. And you and I are just sitting here like in Malibu talking about like, hey, man, watching kids skate. Life is good. There's people up to their dicks in snow right now going, are these guys just asshole hippies or what?
Maybe. And I will
say. How dare you? How dare you even maybe hippie me?
I will say.
To date.
The more of your. These are called.
What do you say to the person?
Listen.
In a fixed income.
I get it.
In the middle of the country.
Listen. This is, it's called the consciousness spectrum.
Doesn't enjoy their marriage.
You need to,
their kids bug them.
Know where you're going to eat, where you're going to sleep, where you're going to get your love, where you're going to get your contribution. These are called higher level needs. Why? The why am I here? What is my purpose? What happens when I die? Those aren't for people that are taking three buses to get to nine buses. I understand that. But I will also say, and this
Wait, so they're not allowed to participate in this awakening?
No.
What are you talking about?
It might be, if you don't know where your food is coming from, or if you're in a war, you're not going to sit around thinking like, if your country is occupied,
you're sitting on a bus at 5 a.m. to get to your other bus, to get to your job. You got lots of time to think, why am I here?
I was trying to agree with your
point. Didn't sound like it.
Okay. I'm saying basic needs, food, shelter. Mm-hmm. I understand. I agree with you. If you're on a bus, you probably do have time to do these things. Here's my response to that. And this is all from Eckhart Tolle. There's your life and there's your life situation. Your life is now. Your life is in this exact moment. You understand? And that's real. Your life situation, the fact that your boss sucks or your kids are shits or whatever, that's all mind stuff. That's stuff that your mind is making into a problem. When really, if we can center ourselves, you can realize that in a moment, if there isn't a tiger after you, or you're not slightly on fire, you can realize that in the moment, nothing.
Slightly on fire.
Just a little bit on
Very
fire.
Very Woody Allen-esque. Slightly on fire. Found himself.
It's one of my favorite teachings is you say, what in this moment is lacking? What in this moment is lacking? That's something you can meditate on. You don't need a mantra. You don't need a teacher. You can ask yourself, what in this moment
is lacking?
You know
what's amazing? Hand me a pen, sweetheart. I have been, I'm being serious, searching for a mantra for a very long time, and I just never had one. So I've been doing Hail Marys by default because it goes in a circle, and
sure.
I dig it. You wind up praying to her, and at the end you're asking her to pray for you.
Boom.
So I liked it. What in this moment? Go on.
Is lacking. It's a good one because you realize that if you do, you go like, for example, I'll go like, well, I'm waiting for...
Somebody right now is going
to
go...
I'm waiting for Showtime to call me back. Okay, but what in this moment is lacking? Your brain is creating that into a problem.
Well, guys like you and me, the answer is usually nothing. Because we've been gifted...
But the answer to most people, I think, is nothing. Even if you are on the bus to get to the next bus.
I would say 70% of the people listening are probably yelling into their hands right now.
I think that's an interesting thing. Okay, so give me a situation. You're at a shitty job and it sucks.
Tweet
us. Under fluorescent.
This is a serious social experiment. Tweet us.
But I'm not making this up. This is an ancient Zen teaching.
I'm not making this up either. I want people to tweet us.
You're going to like this. Okay. If you're on an airplane and this is us a lot, right? Because we tour pretty seriously. If I'm on an airplane and I'm waiting to get home, I can make myself miserable going like, I can't, but you're postponing your happiness. I can't wait till I land. Why? Then I can't wait till I get in the car. Why? I can't wait till I get home. Why? I can't wait till I get to my bed. Why? I can't wait till I'm having sex. Why? I can't wait till I'm eating. Why? You're always waiting for the next thing. But when you're on the plane, and don't tell me that our lives are perfect. We live in suffering as well.
We're in show business.
So I believe it. I couldn't be more grateful for my life. But in those moments where I'm like, this is the third plane today, because I just went to the Upper Peninsula, and I'm on my third plane home, and I'm beat, and my voice is gone, blah, blah, poor me. But I'm on the plane, I'm just like, I can't wait till I get home, and it's like an eight-hour flight because of these turnarounds and stuff.
Yeah.
Then I go, what in this moment is lacking? And then I see the color of the plane. I see the stewardess's face. I talk to the person next to me. And I realize that that is my life. My life situation is me wanting to get home. My life situation is telling me that consumeristic sort of idea, when I get home, I'll be happy.
Next.
And I say, that's an illusion. That's mind stuff.
Right.
Reality is the moment is
you
all you
are going home.
You already are home.
You just did the gig.
That sort of hippie this is where I take my dwelling, but home is wherever I happen to be. It's from Wanderlust. But that's true. You know what I mean? So if you are under fluorescent lights working a shit job, data entry, or whatever it is that allows you to listen to podcasts while you work, I'm with you. But that's also your moment. You're not lost. You're in a good moment. It's okay. Like, you don't have to, your mind wants to go like, but if we made more money, or if my girlfriend had bigger cans, you know what I mean? That's all just your mind making problems, because your mind likes to make problems because it wants to keep it in charge. So it makes your essence, your truth, its bitch. So it goes like, yeah, but you'll be happy when Showtime calls you back with that special. How about what in this moment is lacking? Nothing. No. My mind is just making horseshit.
Yeah. And when I'm on a plane, because I had to take 16 planes to get to Syracuse. Hey, Syracuse, join the fucking union. Holy shit. You blown it up, fucking place?
Yes, I have.
I'm going back, but I'll tell you, next time I'm going, I'm going to drive up from Manhattan. I flew from here. I left at 4 in the morning. I got there at 6 o'clock at night. You fucking dicks. I could have went to Munich.
Yeah.
Literally.
I could have gone to Munich.
Literally, I could have got on a 777 aircraft and left LAX and been in Munich the same time I landed at fucking Syracuse the bullshit airport.
Going to Buffalo, too. It's difficult.
Yeah.
Yuck.
But when you say, what in this moment is lacking?
Yeah.
And I'm on my way home, a nap. Nighty night. I got a kid. I understand. I don't sleep a lot. So I look at the plane as like, oh, wow, I got 6 hours.
You get to sleep.
Oh, yes. It's great. The best.
Yeah.
I had this big fucking thing I was going to ask you before, and you were like, no, you're going to like this. But I did like it, so I don't care that I forgot.
Oh, your I thought show, you wouldn't like it.
Your
the
show,
thing about postponing your happiness is big for me.
Don't postpone joy.
If I'm driving home and we hit traffic, I go, this is my reality right now. Accept it.
And
your brain makes you miserable.
Everyday Buddha book where
by
like, when
not
you're in traffic by yourself, it's the only time you turn everything off and sit.
Just take it.
Just sit. And just that's when your real ideas come. But let me ask you this. You're doing the Pete Holmes show. You're like, Conan is your guy. You're handpicked by Conan.
Conan O'Brien?
Conan the Barbarian punches the horse and says, bring me Pete Holmes.
I saw that clip.
So you do a TV show, a talk show.
I did a talk
show. So that means
talk show.
Every day you were surrounded by a cacophony of people that, through the best intentions, had no fucking idea what they were doing and were very unhappy for the most part. I'm just talking show business. I'm generalizing.
You're saying,
I was never at your show because you didn't have me on. Sorry about that. Something got stuck in my throat around season two. No.
I'm sorry. You got bumped by me.
Yeah.
I was the guest that we had instead
of
you.
Joe DeRosa, 24 months of checks. JJ, who needs Jay around? Joey Rose.
Holmes.
That's my Joe DeRosa.
It was fine.
Joe, so you're surrounded by show producers who are not into this type of conversations for the most part. So that's got to be when you're doing the Pete Holmes show, like writer's room, it's pretty laid back. It's fun. Everybody's having a good time. But like when they come up to you during the break and they tell you like, okay, we're a minute and a half behind. This is going on. This is going on. And cameras are flying around. And there's an audience warm-up guy going, who farted? And they're doing the YMCA. And they're all wearing fucking Raiders t-shirts. And they're like, this isn't the show you told me I was coming to see, dog. You got to realize I am surrounded. Like, you are in a blender of bullshit when you work in television.
Yeah, I think you're confusing our show with every other show. Our show actually felt very illegitimate in a lot of ways, in a good way.
Like is that it why it didn't work?
Could have been.
I mean, it worked, but
no, I understand.
According to the executives.
I'm very proud of our show, but I don't necessarily
you should be.
Think. No,
first
no,
of
no,
all,
no, JJ,
no,
I, no. I don't think
when
you're
you,
saying that.
When you came out and did your monologues,
saying
I was always so.
That.
Seth Meyers does it too, like and Craig Ferguson did it. When you came out and did your monologue, it was simply a guy that's likable, talking comedically, and I was like,
yeah.
It wasn't like. That's what you call.
I had one of those moments. I watched one of the late night shows.
Army cut.
It wasn't like jokes.
I watched a late night show with the sound off on an airplane once, and I knew what was going on. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's such a music to it. So I did want to do something more normal, more personal.
You know what I did once?
Yeah.
I was in my
underwear
house. Probably my underwear. No, I don't really walk around in my drawers too much. I'm a pajama guy.
I like to call my pants my drawers. It confuses
me. Your drawers?
Where are my drawers?
I like pajamas.
Where are my
piping.
Fucking drawers?
And if you give me pajamas with pockets,
puckjamas.
I'm a simple man, Pete.
Give me some puckjamas.
Here's the deal.
I really wish puckjamas had gotten more of a laugh.
What's the deal? I thought it was a real thing. I just assumed.
It's killing everyone else.
Puckjamas.
One guy with a mic doesn't laugh. God, just looking at a photo of Greg Proops. Could this day get worse?
Fucking Proops?
Hey, kittens.
I love Greg. I just happen to be looking at him in this moment where no one's laughing.
Listen.
Hey, kittens.
Really?
Proops.
What did you think? Pocket Puckjamas was going to bring the house down?
Yep. In my world?
Oh, this is what I wanted to do. The social experiment. What in this moment is lack? Hashtag. And I'm being very serious.
But people are going to be like, no. Fucking dick's too small. Hashtag, what in this moment is lacking?
We will be very, we'll know from the weak and the obsolete. Who shot you, Biggie? we'll be able to, we'll know. And I'm asking.
My ass itches. Hashtag, what in this moment is lacking?
Why are you pushing back on this? Because I'm saying, but we're going to know who the dicks are and who's not taking it seriously. This is my podcast. Just like you and your podcast, you would know your audience.
Yeah.
There are people that will hashtag, what in this moment is lacking? Be truthful. At Pete Holmes, at JMoore37. What in this moment is lacking? Tweet us.
But you're giving them the job of finding what in the moment is lacking?
No, I'm challenging them to go on the journey that you put forth to realize by deductive logic and being present, nothing.
Yeah.
And if you type it out and tweet it to Pete and I, hold on.
No, I'm not saying anything.
It will look absurd, but I do want you to do it. Let's take social media and tie it to something so ancient as a Buddhist cone.
Right.
And a mantra.
I'll give you something, right? I'm asking myself what in this moment is lacking. Okay, we left our dog in the house, and I'm worried that he's peeing, right? So my brain's answer, because my brain loves to play this game, what in this moment is lacking, and he loves to name things, and I'm saying that's not true. That's the experiment. I'm saying what in this moment is lacking. My brain goes, well, maybe Brody's peeing all over the carpet.
Let me go and me clean up this.
But you see, that's the thing. But my brain doesn't accept that. That would be being present. I go home and there's pee on the floor. Clean up the pee. You go home and there's leaves on your walkway. Sweep up the leaves, sweetheart. You understand? But your brain wants to create a problem.
Man, I'm going
to
go home and there's going to be fucking leaves on my walkway.
I tried to think of something kind of Zen and Buddhist and I wanted someone sweeping. You
could
understand?
Be a caddy. You could rake a sand trap.
Now,
great. This dick hits it into the fucking, onto the beach. I got to rake for the next 2 minutes on national television. Fucking caddy, dumbest job in the world. Some fucking guy makes $20 million a year and you got to carry his bags.
And it's televised.
What in this moment is lacking? Oh, I don't know. This dick doesn't carry his own clubs?
I mean, yeah.
All right. Seriously. I think this is neat. What in this moment is lacking?
Every time you say it, I love it.
When I get a massage, everything that's running through my mind before when I get to the desk of like the spa, if like I'm at a hotel.
Yep.
I say, could I have a piece of paper, please? And they go, yes. And then I write everything that's on my mind, like mortgage, how many tickets are sold. Like, this person's bothering me. I hope this person's okay. I got to remember to call my sister Virginia, like all this stuff. I write it all down on a piece of paper. I put it in an envelope. I lick it and I hand it to the girl behind the desk and I go, give this to me. Will you please hand this to me when I'm done?
Mm-hmm.
And then when I'm on the massage table and those things run across my mind, I go, no, you can't because you're sealed up in that envelope. If there's something I forgot to write down and I think of it on the massage table, it's alone like a cockroach in the middle of a hockey rink with no people. It's just this absurd one thing, like just kind of floating
and
around.
And it doesn't bother you.
On, No, it's just it's silly. You step on it. It's a roach. It's just this dumb bug sitting there.
I like to flick roaches. I'll give them a kick.
Flick them away.
I don't want all its insides on
the
bottom.
So when you said
what
in this moment is lacking, I wanted to give you that tip. Next time you get a massage, write down what's bothering you.
Or if you
put it away.
Yep.
Hand it to somebody else. Or put it in a drawer if you don't have like a spa.
I've done hypnotherapy. This podcast has taken a strange turn, but that's what they do at the beginning. They say, picture a big iron box and open it. It's a heavy lid. And I want to picture you putting all of your problems into that box and sliding the lid on. And she just, it's very basic stuff. You can listen to audio like programs of people. And this, all of the hypnosis things will do this. And they go, you don't need it right now. They'll be there when you get done. I promise. You can pick them up right where you left them.
Yeah.
Isn't that relaxing?
I like it. And I got relaxed as you were saying it.
Yeah,
but
I know.
You were... You were not present, pushing back on what in this moment is lacking.
Well, because
the Twitter
idea. I don't want it ruined for me by a bunch of clever people on Twitter going like, how about, you know what I mean? It's.
I thought it might help people because when they type it out.
Now I understand what you're saying, but
Type it out, like, what in this moment is lacking? I can't pay my rent.
Okay. What in this moment is lacking?
I can't pay my rent.
In this moment.
I can't.
That's not happening in this moment.
No, right now in this moment, I'm short on my rent.
Right now, someone is saying, give me the rent?
I'm being a hypothetical person.
Me too.
Oh. Yes.
Okay, then deal with that person. I'm saying if you're just sitting there in the moment.
Give me my rent.
You're making it into a problem, and I'm not saying it's not a problem, and I'm not saying there aren't times that you should leave the moment.
You know, this is a bad experiment. You're right. People are like, my dick's too small.
Yeah. Leave the moment and take care of your life situation. Pay your rent, but realize that that's not your life, that your life is the moment. And that's the only thing real. Isn't that true? Isn't the moment the only thing that's true? The beginning of this podcast is gone. As Jack Kornfield would say, it's with the pharaohs and the dinosaurs. It's a memory. It's gone.
It's gone.
Completely disappeared. And this is the only moment.
And it's gone. That one's gone too.
Absolutely.
Steve Martin did it on the, somebody did it on the.
Who cares? It's gone.
SNL 40, they go, there's a moment coming. Oh, no, it's the old George Carlin bit. There's a moment coming up. I just want to let you know. There's a moment. Oh, okay. Oh, man.
That's funny.
And it just went away. It's gone already, man.
Yep. A lot of people were high back then.
Pete Holmes, You Made It Weird is his podcast, and you definitely want to get it on iTunes, subscribe to it. You get great guests.
And if you
want
to hear these ideas articulated better, The Heaven Stuff, Rob Bell's Love Wins, The Present Stuff, Eckhart Tolle, The Power of Now. Those books will explain it way better than
I like
can.
The Four Agreements a lot, too.
I like The Four Agreements. Didn't really melt my dick, but it got me there. The Power of Now will melt your dick. The Four Agreements, you'll go like, yeah, I shouldn't take stuff personal.
Make no assumptions. It's so huge.
Oh, why do we keep assuming shit?
What are you, Barney from The Simpsons?
Oh, hey, Homer.
Wow, you fell on Aerosmith.
And Palmerston.
Be impeccable with your word.
All right. Pete Holmes.
When I'm tired, I always sound like Krusty. I would come off stage at the talk show and I'd go,
hey, Bart.
That's what I would sound like.
That's a good
question. It was completely unintentional. And then I started saying, hey, Bart.
I would love to do a talk show, but it's got to be tough.
We did 9 episodes a week. It wasn't like what you were thinking. And we would overshoot everything. It was never short. It was a 22-minute show. It wasn't easy, but it wasn't as rough as what you've probably seen on your Lettermans and Conans and stuff. What those guys do is a real factory.
I watch a late-night talk show, and I won't say which one it is because I don't want to burn a bridge because it's still on the air. And I said, okay, I convinced myself that I was the head writer. And it was one of those weeks where every joke in the monologue was mine. I hit the mother load. He's going to walk out, and for 11 minutes, it's all me. And I did such a good job convincing myself. I was having an anxiety attack halfway through.
That's funny.
But the crowd's all laughing because there's the applause sign.
Well, they don't do that during the monologue.
Huh?
There's no laugh sign. And the applause, you usually just throw it on at the end. So if you get an applause break in the middle, that was them.
Well, then I don't know why they were laughing. It was just a rhythm of comedy. And they just go, oh, this is where we make sounds.
That's true.
And so they just go,
they have been pretty juiced by the guy that
was
like.
And I remember, but I was halfway through that monologue going, I'm getting fired.
Oh, interesting.
And then I had to realize, no, remember, this is a game. You mind fuck yourself. You didn't write the monologue to this
funny?
Long-running late night
show. Your brain was real ready for you to create your own reality, though. Your brain was real ready to accept a reality that you just made up.
I'm realizing with this discussion with my friend Pete Holmes that I'm more present than I think. Fairly Present.
And your iPad.
Hey, album three. Fairly Present.
Slightly
I'm
on
gonna
fire.
Tour with Pretty Vacant.
Fairly Present.
I'm going to tour with Pretty Vacant.
Hey, Bart.
You Made It Weird is Pete Holmes' podcast. And
listen to Jay's episode.
I listen to three podcasts all the time. I listen to Greg Proops, Smartest Man in the World.
Hey, kittens.
That's not what he sounds like at all.
San Francisco.
That's not, he's not an old Jewish lady.
Whose line is it anyway?
He was not in Something About Mary. He was not. And I listen to Pete's. And I listen to Corollas. Those are the three I listen to. And I listen to my own because I go, wow, you really interrupt a lot. So I'm working on that.
I can't listen to mine for the same reason. I'm like, just shut up for a second. But I was so excited in the moment.
My man, Pete Holmes.
My man.
My man, my man. Hey. What about your dick, man?
Hey, man.
You actually said Four Agreements didn't melt my dick.
It didn't
I
melt
think
my
that
dick off.
Should be on the back cover with the reviews.
It was good.
Like,
it didn't melt
one of them,
my dick.
Because there's always like David Mamet, True and False. He got like three, like Anthony Hopkins and this person. And then Alec Baldwin says, I disagree with every single tenet of this book, but I do encourage you to devour it.
Yeah.
But in the back of some like Eckhart Tolle book, you just go, this melts my dick.
This book melted my dick off. In the moment.
No, just this melts my dick.
This melts my dick.
If it melts it off, it's done.
Yeah.
If you're going to stay in the moment.
Melts my dick.
Let me teach you a little something about Buddhist philosophy. Bean.
What in this moment is Cackling, the new album?
It's just a roulette wheel of moments. It never ends, people.
Well, it's the flow of experience through the still point of the moment. That's what old Deepak Chopra said. He did my podcast. You
was
should
the flow
to
what?
It's the flow of experience through the still point of the moment.
That's too heady. Like, there's nothing I can apply in my brain
just
to make sense
like,
of that.
Just picture like a. This is how I picture it. Like a slide with a little picture on it. That's like the lens.
Okay.
And then all of existence is flowing through that. But you're always here. But like all the image, I can't explain how I see it in my mind. But that picture it flowing.
Yeah, but you said it like it was like this like.
I thought
Will
I could
Rogers
explain it.
Folksy.
I thought I could explain it.
You know, I never met a stranger. It's this fucking crazy Deepak Chopra other level
I don't think that's that hard to understand.
Brother, it's me and you talking. Yeah. It's a little off the grid. Say it again.
It's the flow of experience. So picture.
No. Just say it.
It's the flow of experience through the still point of the moment. You're always in the moment, but experience changes around you.
Yeah, but I. Yeah, that's fucking absurd. I'll tell him to his face.
He wouldn't be the first.
I know. That's what I love about the guy.
And that would be the still point of that moment.
Still point of this moment?
And you saying, I don't understand
saying.
That. That's the flow of experience. And it's
like
gone.
When I talk to Pete, I get it.
And it's gone.
When I talk to Rob Bell, I know what he's saying.
Yeah. Well, read Love Wins. You're going to love it. Changed my life.
Pete Holmes, You Made It Weird podcast. And go see him at the Grand Rapids, Michigan Wealthy Theater, March 14th. It's sold out, which you know, you just...
Go stand by.
Why don't you add a second show? Get paid.
I'm not in it for the money. I'm in it for loyalty to Comedy Central and not the money.
Pete Holmes, put your name on it.
Never. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.